The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Heavy is the beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. Stop and see. When will we feel what we've been missing? That the man in the moon must have found. 'Cause he looks upon us with a frown. To know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. The innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? When will we find what we've been missing? That the man in the moon must have found. 'Cause he looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. As long as there's life, there's still a day. And I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
And you're tuned to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. And this unrecognizable voice is the voice of Catherine, Kathy Davis. And I am here instead and filling in for the Honorable Robert Knight, host of Earthwatch, heard on Wednesday evenings at midnight. And I am here because he has an early assignment, and I am filling in this evening, and I just want to impress upon you how important it is for you to support this program. And I just want to remind you of some of the wonderful shows that Robert has prepared for you. I do have some material that I'm going to share with you this evening, but I know that there are many of you who have tuned in at this moment to hear Robert Knight and to hear the stellar work that he does, the insightful reporting he provides, and that quirky humor. And I can't provide that for you, but I do want to remind you that you can call the pledge line 212-209-2950, and you can do justice to this program by showing your support. And I want those of you who tune in and really depend upon Earthwatch and the work and the imagination that you experience during these hours on Wednesday midnight, I want you to call and show your support, 212-209-2950. You can become a BAI buddy by making a ongoing serial donation to WBAI, perhaps at the $10 level, perhaps more. I know that there are those of you who can do considerably more and may want to actually offer us a matching donation, or may want to really do justice to the work and to what's been shared and will continue to be shared over these airwaves with Earthwatch with Robert Knight. And for those of you who were tuned in over the weeks, I just wanted to remind you of some of what you've heard. And if you just go back to January 29th, there was a beautiful program here on Seeger, Pete Seeger, Musically Remembered. And he also covered issues of color and spying. And so it was a full program, Pete Seeger, Musically Remembered, an acoustic tribute to the late legend Pete Seeger, who recently died of natural causes at the age of 94. And it goes on to list all the beautiful songs that he played. And then there was a segment, Color Upstages Race at Theater for the New City, an examination of the provocatively progressive play Color. And also as a part of that program was NSA Surveillance State Exposed by Ellsberg and Others as Obama Defends It, Going Doot 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 Doot. So here we go. This is just, if you've enjoyed these programs, please make that phone call, 212-209-2950. I played the opening theme you often hear at the opening of Earthwatch, The Bell for Freedom by Stevie Wonder. And I'm going to play another little piece for you. And it's by, it's called... let me see if I can get this cued. It's called Man Among Men. It's a nice piece of music, and I think it's relevant to the moment. And I'm just a bit concerned because I'm filling in for Earthwatch, and I do have material I'm going to be sharing with you on a CD premium, Quantum Reality Makeover, talking about that inner space, that inner reality, and how we can empower ourselves through an understanding of the that quantum state of being. But I still have more to remind you and ask you to support Earthwatch by calling 212-209-2950. If you were tuning in, going back to, let's see, this would have been the 15th of January, you would have heard the Robert Knight honoring MLK's real 85th birthday, January 15th, 2014. And on the program, he reviewed one of the lesser repeated speeches of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressing the economic underpinnings of American racism, the Other America, presented in various forms to the communities of Stanford, California, and Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and during the last 2 years of his life in 1967 and 68. And he also brought to you segments about King's contemporary relevance during a recent interview with Kevin Gray, the author of Waiting for Lightning to Strike. the fundamentals of black politics, as well as the decline of black politics from Malcolm X to Barack Obama. And so that was a program you'd heard, and that was the reason for you to support WBAI, and most certainly support Earthwatch. 212-209-2950. You know, I have information to remind you how stellar and important this program is, but I'm not sure I can do it justice. So maybe there's someone who's tuned in and listens to this program that could actually help me pitch. If you want to call, 212-209-2900. And if you want to say something of value about Earthwatch and help me convince all the rest of you out there to support this program, I'm open to those phone calls, you know, throughout the program for this next hour and a half. That number to pledge, though, is 212-209-2950. If you were tuned in to Earthwatch going back to January 4th, you would have heard an incredible tribute. The program was titled Best in Peace, Father Paul Mayer, Rest in Peace. And this was a beautiful tribute to one of Earthwatch's longtime listeners who transitioned recently. Pacifist, civil rights activist, progressive liberation theologist, and radical ecologist gathered Sunday, 5th of January, at New York's Judson Memorial Church for a final farewell to the transgenerational inspiration for social justice, Reverend Father Paul Mayer. And he, Reverend Paul Mayer, passed away on the 22nd of November 2013. So this was another really stellar program that you heard rather recently on Earthwatch. And then there's the political work that's been shared with you. And let's see, and earlier in January, also you heard a really special program, NSA Surveillance Showdown. And in this program, you heard the latest words of NSA surveillance revelator Glenn Greenwald, WikiLeaks publisher Julian Assange, cyber journalist Jacob Applebaum, Edward Snowden liaison Sarah Harrison, and cryptologist Bruce Schneier. And this was on the global espionage regime and a new generation of resistance to the information apartheid and elimination of the very concept of individual privacy. And this was a program prepared and shared with you on Earthwatch in the 1st of January. The number to call, 212-209-2950, is the number that will allow you to honor this body of work and provide the impetus, the support. And that support has to come as a station-wide support. And when you make that financial donation, then the program has the opportunity to continue and to thrive. And I'm asking you to do that right now by calling 212-209-2950 and show your support for Earthwatch. And show your support for WBAI Radio. It's a very, very important media outlet. And it's, you know, things are transforming and transitioning before our eyes. And it's important to bring the positive force and positive energy to this transformation that we see at WBAI. There is great risk of loss, as most transitions are, but also at the point of risk is an opportunity. And that opportunity is for you as a listener to make up your mind, to understand, and to honor that appreciation that you have with your commitment. And you can make an ongoing commitment, and I'm asking you to do that in support of Earth Watch. And you can, when you call 212-209-2950, you can support Earth Watch and you can support WBAI with a single donation in whatever amount is within your means, but also is an amount that can show appreciation for this incredible body of work. Earthwatch has been on the air, I think, I'm thinking maybe 30 years, something in the neighborhood of 30 years. I don't know, remember exactly. But it's been a generation, a lifetime of stellar, creative, unique expression of that of the award-winning journalist Robert Knight. And this is the home of Robert Knight, his broadcast home. And it's important for you to bring the cushion of your support at this time by making a phone call, 212-209-2950. Remember, you can make a donation as a member, $25 level. Maybe some of you can make a $200 donation or maybe a $500 donation because you have the means and because you love the program. But you could also make a donation of $5, $10, $20. You know, the objective is to stand up and take responsibility for those things that you care about, for those things that you support, for those things that you want to continue to have a place in your life. WBAI is part of that. I believe if you're listening to this radio station, Earthwatch is a part of that, I believe, if you're listening at this moment in time. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. When you make that phone call, tell the operator that you want to make a donation on behalf of the program Earthwatch, and they can, you know, click a little button or something and make sure that your donation is attributed to Earthwatch. And you can also actually go to our donation site, give2wbai.org, and from that site you can choose perhaps one of the few premiums that are there, or you can make a donation in any amount, or you can become a BAI buddy. So it's a very flexible opportunity that you'll find at give2wbai.org. And also, it's not too late to make that phone call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And I'm going to give you a little music that you can dial to and that you can take that break and make that phone call. And when we come back, I'll be able to share with you some of the material that I have prepared on the Quantum Reality Makeover CD. And you could also pledge at the $35 level for this CD, should you choose to do that. But first, make the phone call, 212-209-2950. And I've been here at the radio station for a bit. I'm not sure, actually, if the snowstorm has started, but I thought I would play you a little message from Buffy St. Marie. And actually, the music, this particular CD, I heard for the first time on Earthwatch. And so I'm going to play that piece called Easy Like the Snow Falls Down. Thank you.
When the mind's too quick and the dream's too slow, and you can't pretend to feel, and your life has gone on its own somehow, and you long for something real, come to me.
Took this opportunity to make your phone call and make a pledge of support to WBAI at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And I am Catherine. I'm here filling in for Robert Knight and inspiring you. I certainly do hope to make a pledge of support in honor of Earth Watch. That's the program that airs from midnight till 1:30 a.m. every week on Wednesday midnight is when it starts. And so now is your opportunity to support that program, 212-209-2950. And some of the information, some of the material that I have prepared for you includes a mix of recordings, interviews, some music clips, and its purpose is to inspire us all to remake our lives in the image of our dreams, our intentions. We have the ability to repurpose, refocus, and direct our energies and our intentions into manifestation within our lives. And that is the inspiration behind this CD, Quantum Reality Makeover CD. It is a contribution of $35 to support WBAI. And I'm hoping that that is within the means of most. And I do want to encourage you to make that phone call, because as you call and pledge, and if you choose to receive the Quantum Reality Makeover CD, your pledge goes to support Earthwatch program. And this CD was created out of the program which I host called Heart of Mind. And it airs on Mondays at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And it's a program about consciousness and health and spirituality. It includes science and includes philosophy. It's eclectic. And I believe that you, as a listener of Earthwatch, can connect to some of the thinking and some of the inspiration that I'm bringing to you today. Certainly, Robert Knight felt that this was something that you might connect to. And I'm going to start by sharing with you a piece, an excerpt. And, you know, a lot of the work that I see and do comes out of this whole concept of the shift of the so-called, 2012 phenomena. But when you go into actually the what it is that the Mayan calendar and the Aztec calendar were actually speaking about, they were speaking about a shift in the ages, about a shift in a period of time. And so what occurred in this period, this bridging period between maybe 1998 or and 2030, really, it's a fairly large period in which this shift occurs. And so the whole Western take on the disaster is really not what the message was. What the message that came to us from this, these civilizations was that we have an opportunity to restart the game. And so I'm going to share with you a little excerpt from Mazatlan, and he is an elder of the Aztec tradition, and he speaks about the Mayan calendar and the Aztec calendar, but he goes through a deeper explanation. It's not too long, when he talks about starting with the Olmec civilization and how it, you know, the knowledge was transferred from one civilization to the next. And recently I had a conversation with one of the carriers of that tradition, and his position and what he was explaining is that what the real teachings were is that we were talking about the dawning of the sixth sun, which is a new era, a transformative era, and that many of the ancient technologies and understandings would be coming back, and we would be able to access a lot of this information and understanding in order to reshape our lives and recreate our world. And so it's a concept worth considering, I believe. But I'm going to start with sharing this particular excerpt with you and remind you that you can call 212-209-2950 to show your support for Earth Watch this evening. That's 212-209-2950 is the number to call. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of music as we transition into this particular talk. And coming up, I have some other segments for you, including something on the parallel universes, and something on, you know, some pieces from Alan Watts. And so I have a few things that I want to share with you, and I want to give you the opportunity to make that phone call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
We're talking about the Aztec calendar, in particular when we look at the calendar system, and they call it the Aztec calendar. But before it was called the Aztec calendar, it's got its original name, and the original name is Tonal Mashiot. Tonal is the sun, the energy of the sun, and Mashiot is a pattern, like how to become like the sun. Okay? But by the time they come to the Tonal Mashiot, they created what we know now as the Aztec calendar. That took a long time, a lot of steps. And it began way, way back a long time ago with ancient people that we know as we call Olmecat. Olmecat, and that comes from the word Olin, movement, and rope, mecate. So those who began tying the movement of time, these are the Olmecatl. And they began to measure time, measure themselves in the cosmos and the nature around them. And they recorded these times and these cycles. And then after that, oh yeah, by the way, an Olmecat is not necessarily a nationality or a people or a nation. There's just a knowledge, a space of time. And then comes Toltecat. In Toltec, that means these are the builders, the ones who build and found the precision in the measurement of time. And they build everything according to these precise measurements. And Toltec became known as those who did not settle for second best. those who will give their all to try to complete their mission. Not because of their own personal glory, but because of their personal responsibility to everything around them. And that's Toltec. And then comes the era that we call the Mayab, or the Maya, in the time of the measurements. The Maya, the word Maya will come bring you to a word that represents a net, something that says perimeters, the areas. And our grandfathers, the Maya, their main purpose and their main mission that they have with us was to go back to the beginning of this cycle and measure our cycle and prepare us for the coming of the new cycle, which will come up in 2012. So not only did they measure correctly the time, but they also measure when it began and when the new cycle begins again. So that's the Mayab. And then comes Aztec. And Aztec, the Aztec didn't come about until after they put all these measurements together, all these counts together, the culmination of all this knowledge from throughout the continent. It didn't happen in one place. It happened after many, many thousands of years of coming together throughout this continent, gathering together and coming to a conclusion. And then in approximately 1479, they built a stone that we know now as the Aztec calendar, and it became Aztec. Aztec comes from the word Aztli, and it means instruments to harmonize. So to become an Aztec, you have to become an instrument of harmony. And when they were able to put the humans into the cycles of the day that you're born, and this is your quality, your potential, then they became those harmonious instruments. And so I believe that we all can become Aztec when we learn to be that harmonious instrument.
Just wanted to remind you that you have an opportunity to show your support by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And you may become a BAI buddy when you make that phone call. And you can have an ongoing donation of $10 a month or $20 a month in order to support Earthwatch and WBAI Radio. I'm also offering you the Quantum Reality Makeover CD. It's a pledge of $35. And it's a mix of recordings, interviews, a little bit of music clips. And the purpose is one of inspiration, to connect all of us into that quantum space of our existence. Coming up, I'm going to share another clip. It's called The Parallel Universe and How to Change Reality. One of the things of this program is that we are offering you to use it as a resource. So the information is there. There's also a connection to where you can get more of the same information, where you can get the full expansive interviews included, or elements included. So please do make your donation. It's only a $35 pledge of support for the Quantum Reality Makeover CD. So I'm going to play another clip for you, Parallel Universe and How to Change Reality.
In the early part of the 20th century, the founders of quantum theory discovered that a subatomic particle is not a solid and stable thing, but instead exists in many states at once, a state of pure potential, what is known by physicists as a superposition, or sum of all probabilities. Only when measured by the consciousness of an observer do these probable states collapse into a single event as a wave or a particle. And this was demonstrated by the famous double-slit experiment. But what happened to the other probabilities that weren't experienced? Physicist Hugh Everett proposed that instead, multiple worlds are generated in which all probabilities are experienced. It was a controversial theory. If true, this means that human consciousness also creates quantum entities of probabilistic potential. In recent years, mainstream quantum science has accepted the theory of infinite probable realities as valid. Recently, physicists Stephen Hawking and Thomas Hertog have proposed a radical new approach which suggests the universe did not have just one unique beginning and history, but a multitude of different ones, and that it has experienced them all simultaneously. This video explores the implications of simultaneous time, probabilities, and the influence of conscious intentions to change the experience of reality, both personally and collectively. A characteristic of humans is that we are only aware of our three-dimensional existence, one point of time at a time, which we experience as the present. We know we were at a different point a moment ago because we remember being there. Yet where did that moment go? It no longer exists except as a memory of the past. Although the nature of a single past is clear, the future is more complex. At any moment, we can choose between different actions. For example, we could choose to go out for coffee, go for a walk, or stay at home. At the moment of the present now, these courses of action exist as probable events, A, B, or C, until a choice is made, and then only one is experienced. As we move ahead through time, we continue to make choices in probable futures, each of which would become unique experiences. However, if there are parallel realities, all these probable future events that we choose not to experience would also exist, but beyond our awareness. And this leads to the question that if probable events exist, who is the person that experiences them? According to Everett's theory, for every future there would be alternate probable realities in which another version of the self, or probable self, experienced the events not chosen by us. In this scenario, the reality experienced by the probable self would appear to be the only real version, and we would be the probable self when viewed from that perspective. Building on this idea, if future probabilities expand out from this present moment, then the same would be true for all past moments. The range of probable events would therefore form a vast web or plane of probabilities, a new dimension, the fifth dimension, or spacious present. However, our identity or observer self would still only experience one present now and have a memory of its prior experience only along one strand of probability. This model raises intriguing dilemmas in two ways. First, the revolutionary idea that we have probable selves experience alternate realities. The second idea is that it implies that not only do we have probable futures, we have probable pasts as well as probable presents that this version of ourselves did not choose to experience. There is another disturbing and unacceptable implication of the model being proposed. Consider the following. If time is simultaneous, then all events throughout history are predetermined. In this model, a perpetual self or selves march through a time-space series of states just to give the illusion of change. What about the consequences of free will? Can the model be expanded to reflect the impact of free will? Let's try this out. Say a person is walking along the road and, given free will, pauses for just a moment to watch a bird fly overhead. This pause would slightly shift the predetermined space-time coordinates of the body, and a new probability would be created over and above what existed before. Suppose further that the pause was sufficient for the person to miss a probable bus, and hence a probable important appointment. A new group of probabilities, A prime, B prime, C prime, would now be created. With simultaneous time in place, a new set of probable events would also occur instantaneously, and this new set has been shown above the previous plane of events. This all happens from just one random event. It would also apply to intentional, conscious, and spontaneous choices which don't exist in the plane of probabilities. So, to be consistent, if any one point in consciousness can deviate from the earlier fixed plane of probabilities, then it makes sense to say that all past, present, and future events have the same option. This generates a completely new plane of instantaneous events, the spacious present, above the original. By the same reasoning, the structure of this new plane would be no more stable than its predecessors, and shortly, it too would generate another plane of reality above the one before, and then another, and then another. Stephen Hawking and Hertog suggest in their article that reality is like a projection of billions of movies played on top of one another. So to complete the sixth dimension, a vertical scale is added, value fulfillment. To reflect this idea of reality as a cube with the top surface dynamically continuing to grow in a new dimension of increasing experience, a sixth dimension of reality. This suggests that not only do we have access to those past and future probable worlds, we can change the present by conscious intention. The anecdotal evidence of spontaneous healing by prayer, meditation, or powerful visualization is compelling. The probability model provides an interesting explanation of how this is happening. Suppose a person is moving into a probable illness, for whatever reason, and following this thread, the illness develops to a point requiring medical intervention to head off disaster. This is one alternative. Suppose instead that the person intensely focuses on an alternate probability in which the illness never starts. This generates a future of no illness. Now, let's get practical. Greg Braden, a spiritual visionary, provides a perfect example of this phenomenon in a video in which a patient in a Beijing medicine-less hospital is healed of a 3-inch diameter bladder cancer, and it's captured on video. I'll let Greg's own narrative give truth to this incredible story.
So in the video documentation, the film shows a woman lying on in a hospital room. She's fully awake, she's fully conscious, she believes in the process that's about to happen. Before her, there is an ultrasound technician who is running an ultrasound wand over her lower abdomen that we can see on a split-screen television. And on the left-hand side of the screen, they do a snapshot, a freeze frame of an instant in time for reference, so we can see what her condition looked like in that instant in time. On the right-hand side of the screen, we are able to watch real-time as three practitioners stand behind her, working with the energy in her body and with the feelings in their bodies. And what they do is they begin to chant a word that to them they've agreed upon, that reinforces the feeling within them that she's already healed. The chant essentially says, already healed, already done. And as they begin to have this feeling and to say these words among themselves, on the computer screen, on the television screen, we can watch in real time this cancerous tumor as it disappears in less than 3 minutes real time.
Wow, a tumor gone in 3 minutes. What a powerful demonstration of individual healing by intentional focus moving laterally across the timeline. What if this can be applied to society as a whole? For at the present time, humanity's experience is instability, discord, and widespread fear. Now is the opportunity. If a large enough group could use collective prayer or meditation to focus on an alternate probability, we may be able to create a reality of cooperation and peace. Many organizations are focusing on care and compassion for world peace. Global Coherence Network is a mainstream example, which is a science-based initiative to unite millions of people in heart-focused care and intention. Research by the Institute of HeartMath has demonstrated how energy of heartfelt emotions can be synchronized for the benefit of the planet.
And that was just one of the clips in this collection of Quantum Reality Makeover CD. And it's a contribution of $35 to support WBAI. It's a mix of recordings, excerpts of interviews, a few music, mini music clips. And its intention is to inspire us to remake our lives and bring forth our intention, our will, and the energy of our existence, the energy of that source energy flowing through us to fuel our manifested reality. The number is 212-209-2950 to show your support for WBAI and to show your support for Earthwatch. Earthwatch, hosted by Robert Knight, comes to you on Wednesday midnight till 1:30 a.m. And we are asking you to step up and stand up and get to your phone and make that phone call, 212-209-2950, and show your support for WBAI. I'm going to play another clip for you, and this one is going to be Alan Watts, and it's a piece called Give It Away and It Will Come Back. So that should be kind of interesting, I think. And I love Alan Watts, and he's one of the first teachers of Eastern mysticism and Eastern understanding in terms of the Taoist thought. So let me play this little clip for you, and then we'll be back in a moment. I have much more to share and many more opportunities for you to call 212-209-2950. Let's hear something from Alan Watts.
That what I want, basically, what I really want is what you want. And I don't know what you want. Surprise me. But that's the kinship between I and thou. So when I ask, I go right down to the question, which we started with. What do I want? The answer is, I don't know. When Bodhidharma was asked, who are you? Which is another form of the same question. He said, I don't know. Planting flowers to which the butterflies come. Bodhidharma says, I know not. I don't know what I want. Well, when you don't know what you want, you've reached the state of desirelessness. When you really don't know. But you see, there's a beginning stage of not knowing and there's an ending stage of not knowing. In the beginning stage, you don't know what you want because you haven't thought about it, or you've only thought superficially. And then when somebody forces you to think about it and go through and say, yeah, I think I'd like this, I think I'd like that, I think I'd like the other, that's the middle stage. And then you get beyond that, say, is that what I really want? In the end you say, no, I don't think that's it. I might be satisfied with it for a while, and I wouldn't turn my nose up at it. but it's not really what I want. Why don't you really know what you want? Two reasons that you don't really know what you want. Number one, you have it. Number two, you don't know yourself, because you never can. The Godhead is never an object of its own knowledge. Just as a knife doesn't cut itself, fire doesn't burn itself, light doesn't illumine itself. It's always an endless mystery to itself. I don't know. And this I don't know, uttered in the infinite interior of the spirit, this I don't know is the same thing as I love, I let go, I don't try to force or control. It's the same thing as humility. And so the Upanishads say, if you think that you understand Brahman, you do not understand. And you have yet to be instructed further. If you know that you do not understand, then you truly understand. For the Brahman is unknown to those who know it, and known to those who know it not. And the principle is that any time you, as it were, voluntarily let up control, in other words, cease to cling to yourself, you have an access of power. Because you're wasting energy all the time in self-defense, trying to manage things, trying to force things to conform to your will. The moment you stop doing that, that wasted energy is available. And therefore, you are, in that sense, having that energy available, you are one with the divine principle. You have the energy. When you're trying, however, to act as if you were God, that is to say, you don't trust anybody and you're the dictator and you have to keep everybody in line, you lose the divine energy. Because what you're doing is simply defending yourself. So then, the principle is, the more you give it away, the more it comes back. Now you say, I don't have the courage to give it away. I'm afraid. And you can only overcome that by realizing, you better give it away, because there's no way of holding on to it. The meaning of the fact, you see, that everything is dissolving constantly, that we're all falling apart, we're all in a process of constant death, and that the worldly hope men set their hearts upon turns ashes, or it prospers, and like snow upon the desert's dusty face, lighting a little hour or two is gone, you know, all that Omar Khayyam jazz. You know, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the great globe itself, I, all which it inherits, shall dissolve, and like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. All falling apart. Everything is. That's the great assistance to you. See, that fact that everything is in decay is your helper. That is allowing you that you don't have to let go, because there's nothing to hold on to. It's achieved for you, in other words, by the process of nature. So once you see that you just don't have a prayer, and it's all washed up, and that you will vanish and leave not a rack behind, and you really get with that, suddenly you find you have the power, this enormous access of energy. But it's not power that came to you because you grabbed it. Came in entirely the opposite way. And power that comes to you in that opposite way is power with which you can be trusted. Thank you.
From the breath of your creation comes a joy that sets my spirit free. In the raptures of surrendering, I'm one with all that.
This in mind that this book was born, David Allen. I am is power, and I am will free you when you know what it is and how to use it. I am is who you are. I am is your center, and what you experience is what you have believed to be truth and attached to it. Be very careful what you attach to your I am. It has the power to limit you or free you. I am you. I am love. I am wealth. I am health. I am spirit. I am power. I am abundance. I am plenty. I am divine substance. I am strength. I am source energy. I am genius. I am beauty. I am life. I am color. I am thankful. I am divine mind. I am energy. I am God. I am happy. I am fun. I am law. I am open-minded. I am young. I am strong. I am wise. I am wonderful. I am positive. I am determined. I am motivated. I am persistent. I am upbeat. I am confident. I am thoughtful. I am tolerant. I am integrity. I am confidence. I am divine energy. I am success. I am intelligence. I am the truth. I am good. I am that I am. I am mind. I am joy. I am one with God. I am perfect. I am peace. I am whole. I am grateful. I am secure. I am free. I am consciousness. I am awareness. I am mind. I am insight. I am revelation. I am illumination. I am enlightenment. I am heaven. I am unlimited. I am harmony. I am prosperous. I am a magnet. I am gifted. I am responsible. I am vitality. I am radiant substance. I am divinity. I am light. I am the way. I am everything. I am alive. I am calm. I am relaxed. I am divinely guided. I am pure. I am noble. I am awake. I am allowing. I am creative. I am blessed. I am worthy. I am blissful. I am beautiful. I am grace. I am focused. I am kindness. I am imagination. I am inspired. I am thin. I am vibration. I am the universe. I am master of my destiny. I am what I desire to be. I am. What is I am? It is your true being. It is your real nature. Your real self and nobody else. Because no one else can say, I am for you. Only you can say I am. That is your real identity. The presence of God in you, the indwelling Christ. That is you. And whatever you attach to I am with conviction, that you are and that you have. I am is the fact of existence, and to know that gives you all power. When you have to go and tackle the Egyptians and your heart turns to water within you, and you say to yourself, I cannot do this, I am not adequate, there is no way, then remember your true identity and say to the Egyptians, I am hath sent me, and the road will open, and you will surmount your difficulties. God is the I am that I am, and you are I am. And you make your destiny and your own fate by the things which you attach to that I am. For that is what you really believe about yourself. If you give credence to fear by saying, I am afraid, then you are destroying yourself. Every time you entertain a pang of fear or jealousy or a thought of criticism, every time you speak an unkind word to anyone, and much more so if you say about them when they are not present, you are definitely shortening and destroying your life. You are definitely breaking down your cells. You are making your body more sensitive to pain. Nor do we lose a grain of good. Nobody can keep away from you. Every time you say, I am one with God, you are improving your life. Every time you refuse to be bullied by fear, every time you allow the highest you know and put your trust in God, you are lengthening your life, improving your health, and making it more difficult for disease to attack you. Your I am-ness, your consciousness, is the way in which you change your world. Whatever you attach to I am, you become. As you affirm with feeling, I am illumined, inspired, loving, harmonious, peaceful, happy, and strong, you will resurrect these qualities that lie dormant within you, and wonders will happen in your life. When men and women help you in the realization of your dreams, they are playing their part and are messengers testifying to your beliefs and convictions. You wrote the play, and other men and women execute the parts conforming to your concept of yourself. The top secret. When you say I am, you are announcing the presence of God within you. As explained in the third chapter of Exodus, I am means pure being, life, awareness, self-originating spirit, unconditioned consciousness. In other words, it is a secret to millions of people because they don't know that when they say I am, they are proclaiming the presence of God within them. It is called Om in India, and many chant the word Om as a mantra. It is important to know that the meaning of the word Om before using it. In Sanskrit, mantra means an instrument of thought. The Virgin Mary. The I am within you is the Virgin Mary, which is capable of infinite conceptions of itself without the aid of any man. The word virgin in the Bible means a pure mind or mind dedicated to God. The word Mary comes from Mare, meaning the sea, all of which means the pure stream of consciousness. Maya, the name of the mother of Buddha, has the same meaning. The words Queen of Heaven, Star of the Sea, Isis, Queen Esther, etc., all mean the same thing, the I am, or presence of God in your subconscious depth. God, or I am, gives birth to the entire cosmos and all things contained therein, and is the only presence and power. Actually, all the symbols of Christmas have to deal with the human heart, or your subconscious mind. The star spoken of represents the infinite intelligence within you, which guides and directs you and reveals to you the answer. You can claim that God is guiding you and revealing to you the answer or solution to your problem. Accept the truth that the nature of infinite intelligence is to respond to you, and you will receive an answer without the aid of any man. You can boldly affirm, I am whole, perfect, strong, loving, illumined, prosperous, and inspired. As you continue to affirm these truths and feel and believe what you claim, without the help or cooperation of anyone, you will express what you feel to be true. Remember, whatever you attach to I am, you become. The one and only power. The Bible calls this power I am, which means being, life, awareness, unconditioned consciousness, self-originating spirit. All things are made by the self-contemplation of spirit or God. It creates by itself, becoming the thing it creates. Before Abraham was I am. John 8:53. This means before any objectification or manifestation of ideals or desires takes place, the unconditioned or formless awareness, I am, conditions itself into the image and likeness of your concept or ideal. The I am within you, which means being, life, awareness, self-originating spirit, etc., is God or the life principle. I am is the true Christmas tree, and all gifts are on the Christmas tree, for God is both the giver and the gift. If you work for someone and he pays you, he is liquidating an obligation, but I am is a gift to you. No work or sacrifice is needed. You are God. You are the I am that I am. You are consciousness. You are the creator. This is the mystery. This is the greatest secret known by the seers, prophets, and mystics throughout the ages. I dwell within every conception of myself from this withinness. I ever seek to transcend all conceptions of myself. By the very law of my being, I transcend my conceptions of myself. Only as I believe myself to be that which does transcend. I am the law of being, and beside me there is no law.
To Earth Watch. I'm Catherine, and I'm sitting in for Robert Knight, who's on early assignment, and I am endeavoring to inspire you to make a pledge of support of Earth Watch by calling 212-209-2950. And I fear that you miss his work and you miss his voice. And perhaps that's why you haven't made that phone call to pledge your support. But I promise you, he's going to look and see who was able to make that pledge. And he'll look and see whether or not that I've been able to do justice to his work through this program. Because this is a numbers game very often at this radio station, because we depend so vitally on your support, and decisions are made based on those numbers. So I do ask you to make a pledge to 212-209-2950. When you speak to the call center, simply tell them that you are pledging on behalf of the Earth Watch program. You can become a BAI buddy and offer an ongoing support that will be withdrawn from your account every month. It could be a $10 donation, $20 donation, or a $100 donation, whichever you prefer. You can pledge a single amount. A $25 pledge will bring you membership to WBAI. If you can pledge at the $35 level, I will thank you with a copy of the CD. It's a compilation mix that I created. It's called Quantum Reality Makeover CD. And you can get that when you just tell the operator, when you call 212-209-2950, that you're interested in making a pledge of support to WBAI, and the gift is Quantum Reality Makeover CD. It's a $35 pledge of support when you call that number. You can also go to our website, our gift site, and it's give2wbai.org. That's using the number 2, give2wbai.org, and you can make your pledge online as well. And I am reaching out to you with my hand, with my heart, with my voice, and asking you to support the Earth Watch program that comes to you Wednesday midnight, every Wednesday, here over WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. And I'm going to trace back to see if I can let you know what you've listened to in terms of music. Right now you're listening to Tamtra Tibet, David Vasan and Michael Wynn. Earlier we heard Freedom Dance by Diane Reeves. And I played, let's see, I think I played Ring of Gold by Akin Akin. I also played, I played something from... I'll get it together before we leave. And let's see, I played... earlier on I played a piece from Deep Forest. And I think I announced the music that came before that. Anyway, the number is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I'm going to share another piece by Alan Watts, and this piece is called Transcending Duality, and that's an interesting piece as well. And I do hope that you are enjoying these clips, because it's going to be a really masterful mix that you'll hear. And I spent several days putting it together for the program which I host, Heart of Mind, which you can hear on Mondays at 1 p.m. But I'm here at this in this time slot because I am actually a very, I listen to the program Earthwatch and have listened for many years. And that's how I know it's been on the air for such a long time. So I want you to support this work that Robert Knight brings to you every week on Earthwatch. And show the radio, show the powers that be within this station and network that you are a supporter of this program and a supporter of this radio station. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I mean, I can see the pledges, and I think very much, because every dollar, every donation is so valuable. And I really want to thank those of you who have called thus far. But I know that if Robert Knight were here, the totals would be maybe 10 times what I'm able to bring forth thus far. So I'm really reaching out to you to support the program, support the radio station, and really, it's the program that you are supporting. It's Earthwatch that you're supporting when you call that number this evening, 212-209-2950. I'm going to go to a little more of the Alan Watts clip, so stay tuned.
Now, down at the base of the spinal column, according to the chakra system, there is what's called the Kundalini, which is the serpent power. And the symbol of the serpent power is an inverted triangle with a phallus upright and erect, and a sleeping serpent coiled all the way around the phallus. That is, in other words, involution, to be absolutely involved. And the sex symbol is used again because sex stands for, symbolically, complete involvement. Now, when you've got in, the trick is to get out. See? So then, the process of yoga is represented as waking up that sleeping serpent who is under the sleep of Maya, who's captivated by illusion and thinks that the world really exists. In other words, the female echo of himself or the male echo of herself has captivated you. Memory has caught you, and you think it's all really there, and you don't realize that there's only the eternal now. And you need to know that in order not to get quite lost. Because if you go out to any one end of the spectrum, you forget you're there. That's sort of a non-existence. You can't really non-exist. You'll always come back eventually. But if you get one extreme too much, you don't know you're there. So then the symbol is that you draw up the energy located in the Kundalini, which is the sex center, and you send it back up the spinal tree to the top again, from which it came. Now, this is the theory of sex yoga. The theory is that the male and the female partners, who, as I explained yesterday, are husband and wife or some kind of spiritual marriage, what they do is this. The male sits in the normal meditation posture, and the female sits on top of him, wrapping her legs round his waist and her arms round his neck, and he holds her round the waist. And in this position, they arouse the sexual force. Now, the theory goes on to say this, that instead of dissipating this energy in the ordinary way, having aroused it, they send it up the spinal tree back into the brain. Now, don't take this literally. This is a symbolism. It's just the same kind of superstition as thinking that heaven is somewhere up in the sky and that there really are streets of gold and angels wandering around in nighties with harps. All this is a way of talking about inner anatomy, psychic anatomy. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he went right into the middle of himself and disappeared. You know? And like the gates of heaven, they are pearls. People think the pearly gates are gates covered in pearls. There's nothing of the kind. The gates of heaven are pearls. Each one is one pearl. And you know, a pearl has a very thin hole through it for the thread to go in. And that's why a camel can't go through the eye of a needle, because you have to become no one to get through that hole. That's why the idea of many incarnations is likened to beads strung together on a thread. And this thread is called the Sutra Atman. Sutra is a thread. Atman, the self, the threading self that hangs all the beads together. But it's so thin, you see, that it's like nobody. The real you. You have to divest yourself of all hang-ups, you see, to discover the real you. Well, we're back again to the thing of pulling the snake up the tree, the serpent power up. You have to let go of the hang-ups and realize that there are no possessions, everything's falling away, all your memories are holding on to illusions. Then when you thoroughly understand that, you can go back in. So you've got a marvelous picture of the world as a sort of systole and diastole of attachment and detachment, attachment and detachment. And this takes us right back, you see. The bodhisattva who is liberated, who has let go and is no longer attached, given up memory, and this is the meaning of giving up woman, who is your resonator. Give that up, see, and you find you're free. There's only the eternal now. So the bodhisattva, instead of staying there, goes back in. And there are all sorts of funny symbolic stories about bodhisattvas appearing in the world as whores and all kinds, using every conceivable kind of device in order to liberate other beings. But this takes us completely back, you see, to the original Hindu image of the world as the pralaya and the manvantara. The manvantara is the period in which Brahma manifests himself as multiple beings for 4,320,000 years, and the pralaya is the period in which he withdraws and everything disappears and then starts all over again. And this goes on forever and ever and ever in not only our kind of time but in many other kinds of time and in all sorts of different kinds of spaces. But it's the same fundamental myth recreated in another form. Now you may say this is pretty monotonous. And that is, you see, one of the basic feelings underlying Buddhism. Must we go round again? You see? So, indeed, you see, you say, oh, enough of this. Let's go to sleep. Let's stop. Time must have a stop. And so you stop. Well, when you do that, you forget that it ever happened. You see? And this is a marvelous arrangement. Because then it can start all over again without your knowing that it happened before. So you're never bored. And this is a cure for being tired of it. Because if you didn't know, I mean, that's the, where the memory goes, you see. And so when you come back, there's no problem. At least no problem of boredom, of remembering the past. There are going to be all sorts of new problems. But you won't know you've had any problems before. So that won't worry you. Until you begin to accumulate memories again, and you've had these problems, and it's becoming a bore dealing with problems, and then you get rid of yourself. It's called death. It's a beautiful arrangement for keeping everything young and new, and for keeping the universe running without getting tired of itself. And that's the definition of keeping on. So you see, these are the two motions. They're fundamentally then represented by the male and the female, the in and the out, the now moment, and the memory. See, memory, remember, creates the future as well as the past. You wouldn't know you were going to have anything happen tomorrow unless something had happened yesterday. You figure because the sun rose yesterday and yesterday and yesterday that it will arise again tomorrow. If you didn't remember it, you wouldn't know there was going to be any tomorrow. Because there isn't. Tomorrow is an illusion. So is yesterday. Simply isn't here. Where is it? Bring me tomorrow's newspaper. Now this is perfectly marvelous arrangement, you see, so that you may feel as you think these things over that you are almost on the verge of going mad. I sometimes feel that when I get involved in the sort of contemplative state. It is so weird and so far out that I think I'm going to lose my mind. But don't worry. You see, just like being dead. just let go and swing with it, because it'll always bounce. And what makes you, gives you the sense of going mad, is that you think you're not in control, and that it's all lost, and someone else is going to take over, or something else is going to take over. Well, of course it has to, because, like you say, when you've driven long enough in the car, you say to your wife, "Will you drive for a while, please?" You want relief. So something else has to take over. But it's all you. So do you see that how the nature of being is constructed in this extraordinarily fascinating way? So that it constantly renews itself, and therefore is worth going on by eternal forgetting and getting rid of itself.
And that was a very interesting clip by Alan Watts. Included in the CD, the Quantum Reality Makeover CD, are more elements than I've been able to play for you today. But it includes Alan Watts and some segments about from the Mayan and Aztec culture. It includes some discussion and recordings on parallel universe and the nature of quantum reality. There is some spiritual inspiration with the power of I Am, and there'll be a little bit more in terms of, you know, connecting oneself into their own flow of power through that understanding and through that affirmation and surrendering to that power that really fuels us. When we have that resistance, it's when things break down. But we can allow ourselves to gain that access of the nature of power that creates the universe, that creates reality, and we can become co-creators in that process as we transform our lives, as we transform our health, as we transform our bodies, and as we transform our culture and politics and world that we live in. There's a power there. The number to call is 212-209-2950 to show your support for WBAI. I want you to stay tuned for the remainder of this morning's broadcast. Coming up will be Hour of the Wolf. You're listening to, what are we listening to? We're listening to Nakwal is the name of this piece. And also we heard during this program, Easy Like the Snow Falls Down, Don't Go Back to Sleep, Spirit of Rumi, Tamcha Tibet, Freedom Dance, and of course, the opening theme by Stevie Wonder, The Bell of Freedom, The Bell for Freedom, Buffy St. Marie, Easy Like the Snow Falls Down, and Man Among Men, Kurt Bester and Sam Carr. So stay tuned. I have been Catherine on behalf of Robert Knight and Earthwatch. And remember that you can keep your calls coming in and show your support by calling 212-209-2950. If you can make a pledge of $35, you'll receive the Quantum Reality Makeover CD. Coming up next, Hour of the Wolf. Stay tuned.
It was a cold and stormy night when Jim Freund snowed in the bowels of Brooklyn. That's right. I'm Max Mead, sitting in for Jim Freund on this edition of Hour of the Wolf. And tonight we bring you a free premium during our winter fun drive. Something that was offered on cassette previously. Hasn't been offered in many years. Half of it consists of a 1937 radio play of Rossum's Universal Robots from 1937. Yeah, creaky old science fiction. We'll get to that in the second half of the show. We're going to begin, however, with something I produced for the Brooklyn Museum, an exhibit called The Machine Age in America, 1918 to 1941. It consists of clips of old-time radio sound bites, strung together with narration by Kathy O'Connell. Yes, Rosebud returns to WBAI this morning as well. And since both things together take up nearly a full 90 minutes, let's get started. The Machine Age in America, here on Hour of the Wolf, without Jim Freund.
Radio's own show, Behind the Mic. Radio, with a switch of your dial, radio brings you tragedy, comedy, entertainment, information, education, a whole world at your command. But there are stories behind radio, stories behind your favorite programs and favorite personalities and radio people you never hear of. Stories as amusing, dramatic, and as interesting as any make-believe stories you hear on the air. And that's what we give you. The human interest, the glamour, the tragedy, the comedy, and information that are Behind the Mic.
Radio station KDKA Pittsburgh transmits the first commercial radio broadcast in 1920. To determine the range of its signal, the station asks listeners to send postcards if they have received the station's election night newscast.
It is now apparent that the Republican ticket of Harding and Coolidge is running well ahead of Cox and Roosevelt. At the present time, Harding has collected more than 16 million votes against some 9 million for the Democrats. We'll give you the state vote in just a moment. But first, we'd like to ask you to let us know if this broadcast is reaching you. Please drop us a card, address station KDKA, Westinghouse, East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, this is Graham McNamee speaking from the Navy Yard, Washington, D.C. Just a moment ago, the last turn of the propellers of the Memphis brought her close into the dock. The entire white uniformed crew of the Memphis is now lined up at attention, awaiting Lindbergh. Lindbergh is coming down as a gangplank. There's the boy.
When I landed at Le Bourget, a few weeks ago, I landed with the expectancy and the hope of being able to see Europe. It was the first time I'd ever been abroad. I'd only been gone from America for 2 days, a little less. And I wasn't in any hurry to get back. By the time I'd been in France a week, in Belgium a day, and in England 2 or 3 days, by that time I had opened several cables from America. And I had talked to 3 ambassadors and their attachés. And I found that it didn't make much difference whether I wanted to stay over there or not. And I was informed that while it wasn't an order to come back home, that there'd be a battleship waiting for me next week. However, in the short term I spent in the three countries of Europe that I visited, there are several things in connection with aviation in particular that have brought to my attention in comparison to the aeronautical activities we have here in the States. All Europe looks at our air mail line with reverence. There's nothing like them anywhere abroad. But where we have mail lines, they have passenger lines. What we need now in America, I believe, probably more than any other one thing to develop our aviation, is a series of airports at every town and city in the country. Now, fellow countrymen, it was in America that the art of flying of heavier-than-air machines was first developed. As the experiments became successful, the airplane was devoted to practical purposes. It has been adapted to commerce in the transportation of passengers and mail and used for national defense by our land and sea forces. Beginning with a limited flying radius, its length has been gradually extended. We have made many flying records. Our army flyers have circumnavigated the globe. One of our Navy men started from California and flew far enough to have reached Hawaii, but being off his course, landed in the water. Another officer of the Navy has flown to the North Pole. Our own country has been traversed from shore to shore in a single flight. It had been apparent for some time that the next great feat of the air would be a continuous flight from the mainland of America to the mainland of Europe. Two courageous Frenchmen made the reverse attempt and passed to a fate that is as yet unknown. Others were speeding their preparations to make the trial, but it remained for an unknown youth to tempt the element and win. On a morning just 3 weeks ago yesterday, this wholesome, earnest, fearless, courageous product of America rose into the air from Long Island on a monoplane christened the Spirit of St. Louis in honor of his home and his supporters. He was alone. His destination was Paris. 33 hours and 30 minutes later, in the evening of the second day, he landed at his destination on the French flying field of Le Bourget. He had traveled 3,600 miles and established a new and remarkable record. The execution of his project was a perfect exhibition of art. And as President of the United States, I bestow the Distinguished Flying Cross as a symbol of appreciation for what he is and what he has done upon Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have just listened to the delightful address of Mr. Coolidge, the President of the United States, regarding Colonel Charles Lindbergh and the presentation of the Distinguished Flying Cross to that young man. And now the National Broadcasting Company and associated radio stations who are putting on this program by radio are going to ask you to just listen to the band for a few moments.